Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. All at once, He's mightily moving through His body, His people, those who believe on Jesus, all who yield to Him. Whatever they give Him, He uses it. Wherever we yield, that's where He uses us. Now, He doesn't use us against our will. We're willing and obedient. Jesus said in the last chapter of Revelation that the church says, come. And everybody who has experienced the blessing of salvation, they want other people to join in. And sometimes it's just a vexational spirit when people reject to get saved, when they reject salvation, when they fail, when they... Instead of drawing near to the Lord, they go towards the world. And parents watch their children as they make false choices. Friends watch their friends as they make false choices. Even children sometimes watch their parents make false choices. But the Lord our God loves us all anyway. And He's doing things, and He's put things in motion to help us win the loss. Even our daily routine, if we fill our hearts with God's word, our daily routine can be a blessing to somebody. There's a message in it. Never underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. He loves us. His love runs deep. And the anointing is what God uses to relay His love from those who love Him to those who want to know Him. And sometimes our love and our kindness creates an appetite for the wisdom of God. See, people have believed false reports. That's why people don't flood into the kingdom of God. They've been taught wrong. People have taught error. And if it scatters the church, the church will scatter the world. The people of God, if they're scattered, they scatter the world too. That's why false teaching is so dangerous. A false teacher is, according to J. Vernon McGee, which I believe he was right, he said a false teaching is worse than false prophecy. A false teacher is more dangerous than a false prophet is. So, see, the world runs backwards to what God is doing. And they give people false information. They have false standards. And it's a counterfeit. It's just like a man that's rich with counterfeit dollars. They deceive people into taking phony money. All false religions is just a counterfeit. It's worse than counterfeit dollars. They come into your business with their phony dollars, and you take it as good, and it's no good, and the banks can't honor it. And they leave you holding the bag. Well, everybody who preaches false doctrines, false concepts, false knowledge, false religions, what they have in common is it's just a bald-faced lie. And it leaves everybody who believes their doctrine holding the bag. They holding an empty bag. They die, they thinking they're going to go to heaven, and they can't. That's a sad story. But see, Jesus put it this way. Anybody who try to go around Jesus, if you try to go to heaven any other way besides Jesus, you're just a thief and a robber. Now, cold religion, they don't teach that because they want your money and they want to be famous, they want to look good in your eyes, and they don't want to make you angry. Well, people who go to hell become very, very angry. They become very angry. I remember when Jimmy Swaggart was preaching in the 80s. He taught something that was very interesting. He told about a man who went on a fast. He fasted, I think it was 40 days. And he was seeking the Lord. And the Lord showed him hell in real time. Now, the Lord took me to hell. I went to sleep and the Lord took my spirit man to hell to see. I was there as an observer. But this man went to a lower part than I did. And He saw people looking for preachers. What the man saw was people were walking through the fire and picking people up, and they look at them and let them go and pick up somebody else that was moaning in the fire. And they look at them and let them go, and they drop. And he watched this for a while. And different people did this. And the angel told him, he said, "What are they doing?" He said, "They're looking for preachers. People that taught them wrong and they went to hell. And they wanted revenge. Because people taught them wrong and they went to hell." Just because people go to church doesn't mean that they're Christians. And just because people get saved, if they don't forgive, then their sins will be retained. They won't be able to go to heaven. If you got to pay for your own sins, you're not going to heaven. Now, Jesus forgave you of your sin debt, so we have to be just as determined to forgive others of their sin debt. And we owe God a lot. He paid the blood of Jesus to get us out of our trouble. And he did us good. He helped us out. And we have to represent his love. That's our duty. That's our reasonable service. That's our only law. Because if we love people the way we love each other, if I love you the way God loves me, if I treat you the way I want to be treated, that's my law. I don't have 10 laws that I got to fulfill. The law was written to the lawless. But those that love God. And their only law is love. And if you love people, there's a great list of things you're just not going to do. You're not going to lust after a man's wife if you love the man and his wife. If you love them as people of God, you're not going to lust after them. You're not going to wish that they got a divorce and you married her. You're not going to covet somebody what somebody else has. You're going to look at the Lord and you're going to treat people right and respect people. And see, we've been made righteous. We're also complete in Jesus. A lot of people, they want to get married because they don't feel like they're complete. But actually, the truth is, we're complete in him. We don't need a spouse to be complete. We're complete in Jesus. And if you don't walk in the completeness of Jesus, if you don't operate in the fact that you're complete in him, you will be a strain not only to your spouse, but every relationship you have with everybody. Because you'll go around being needy all the time, depending on your children to make you happy. And parents who depend on their children to make them happy, they actually cripple their children's life. They keep them from thriving. They give them poor advice so they'll be around them. God didn't give me children for me to hover around me. They got their own life to live. I got my own life to live, my own assignments from the Lord. They got their own assignments from the Lord. So I don't try to mold them into my will. Because I love them, I try to get them to propel into God's will. And that's just the kind of parent I am. I'm not a helicopter parent. I'm not a needy parent. I don't need them to live next door to me. I want them to go out and thrive in life and live wherever they want to live. I want the Lord to guide them in life and they follow God and not me. I want them to keep the teachings that I did, the things that the Lord gave me to give them. I want them to use those principles and thrive in life. So it is with the ministry. So it is with my kinfolk. So it is with my children. So it is. Because God is good and everybody deserves the chance to follow him and be free to follow him. And I don't tell people to do something that God didn't tell them to do and that the word definitely told them not to do. See, you can't separate God from his word. But people all the time try to separate people from God's will because they don't believe God's will. They don't believe God. They got enough sense to do what God wants them to do. And they tell them things, they give them poor advice. they interfere. And I taught my children, when God gives you something to do, you make it happen. You don't have to listen to other people when it's time to do what God said do. I said, do the word. Your responsibility is to do everything that he wrote in the word and everything that he give you by the Holy Spirit. All the times he confirmed his will to you, you have the responsibility to obey him, to respond in obedience. If you can do that, you can thrive in life. And I promise you, if you seek first the kingdom of God and mean it, there will be no sorrow in your life. You will drive it out. Now, you'll have sorrow till you drive it out. You'll have problems till you drive them out. And you'll have to deal with consequences if you've done things that's wrong. But your life, your healing process starts from the moment you believe on Jesus and start obeying his word. A healing process continues to the point that your everyday routine can save souls, just like a good message on Sunday. A healing process is realized in those who draw near to the Lord. And remember, when you have those nagging problems that don't seem to want to go away, when it seems like it's a stronghold and a struggle, now this is what you have to do. Look to the Lord. He will guide you into all truth. And he won't leave anything out. The things that he give you to do, if you can be faithful with that, it's gonna propel you forward. And you be faithful, and then another step is gonna be ushered in. See, one step of faithfulness ushers in the next step, and then the next step of faithfulness until everything is complete. So never stop short and don't think small. Now, when you have a nagging problem and things aggravate you and you really want it out of your life and you want the blessings of God in your life, don't fear. Look to the Lord, take him at his word, trust in him, and don't focus on the problem that's there. Focus on the Lord, and he's going to give you the wisdom you need to conquer the problem. But never let the problem be your focus. And that's the secret that Satan don't want you to know. Don't look at the problem. Look at the Lord. And let him manifest his perfect will in your life. Let his word become greater in your life than the things of this world, than the rudiments of this world, than the dangers of this world, until it's complete. And don't be weary in well doing. If you've been afflicted with something like cancer or any kind of problem, know that you will heal by Jesus' stripes. You heal. My brother said, "Well, how long do you believe?" I said, "Till you win." "When do you throw in the towel?" I said, "Never." Never throw in the towel. Follow God as your first and last resort. Win in life. You don't even really have to focus on winning. Just focus on the Lord and you'll solve the problem. He'll give you the wisdom. See, there's a peace in knowing God. Isaiah 26:3. It talks about how you have peace because you trust. Isaiah 26:3. If you can trust the Lord, there's a peace that comes with it. It always does. See, trust is reliance. That's the most relaxing way to live, your trust in the Lord. Now, because you trust the Lord, now you speak his word in faith and you act on his word. And see, that way your efforts is going to work to solve the problems. But when people talk about and conversate about the things that's aggravating them and the things that's bringing their life down to poverty, when they magnify the problem, when their focus is on the problem and not on the Lord, and their determination is based on trying to solve the problem, they put forth a lot of extra energy and they wear themselves out trying to solve a problem they don't have the wisdom to solve. But when you trust the Lord, you're not being dormant. You're active. Your actions are to receive God's word. See, because you trust the Lord, seek His word out until you find the principles out there that are in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, if you've studied a lot of God's word, chapters and books concerning problems, find the people that had the same kind of problems you're dealing with, and study the whole story, and then meditate on it by thinking about it all day. Just think about it, and then pray in line with the Word of God, knowing that you have the answer you're after. And then, because your attention's on the Lord and not the problem, you'll receive wisdom and you'll easily conquer the problem. But you'll do it by your faith. See, the just lives by his faith. Because I trust God, I'll believe him and I'll act on my faith. Trust gives me a direction. Trust gives me a goal, a vision. See, vision is developed faith. I have experience in operating in faith. So I know that I'm going to be all right because I have vision. And because the Lord has been good in the past, I trust him. I trust his word. I know I can count on it. I know that if I pay tithes, I'm going to be blessed. I know that if I act on love, I'm going to be blessed and others will live. I know that if I obey the Lord, I'll be blessed. I know if I use his wisdom, my life will be secure. And I won't have to suffer with happenstance and miseries. I can go forward, not backwards. All these things are certain. It's how you focus. If your eye be single on the Lord, your whole body will be full of light. That includes your spirit, that includes your soul, and your brain, and your body. You'll be full of light, your intentions. And you'll grow from glory to glory. And your everyday routine will become a message. Imagine that. Your everyday routine can become a message for everybody that notices you and behold you. See, it only would have taken 10 men, just 10, to save Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three cities around it. Not just to save them, but to keep the sin of those cities where God, to the point that God wouldn't have to judge it. And when people see the righteous thriving in life, some people will come out of the world system because they see somebody doing something right. And they'll see the wisdom in it. And then they'll have a desire for it. Your everyday routine, never underestimate what God can do with your everyday routine. They'll see you living in the peace of the Lord, with the joy of the Lord, operating in his wisdom, speaking his word, speaking his word in faith. At first they'll laugh at you or think you're weird, because you look peculiar to them. But then they'll see the wisdom in it. And when they have needs, they won't feel so silly asking you to help pray for them. And then God is going to move on their behalf. And your everyday routine opens the door for them to hear God. And once they get saved, then they know like you know. And then they already watched you grow in the Lord, so they'll expect to do the same thing. And then when people when Christians come around that are not as wise as you, they'll stick with what they saw in you. And those that are not as wise and teach things the wrong way, they'll know why they're wrong. See, you don't have to argue with people to win. You don't have to win arguments. You don't have to convince people. One brother, the Lord told me to tell him to stop convincing people. He thought he had to convince everybody he talked to. And you don't have to. That's not reasonable. All you have to do is live the word of God. Act like it's true, which it is. And they'll be confronted with more light. And they have to do something with the knowledge they've gained. You've changed their course. They're going to have, you put them in a position where they have to make a decision to come up higher and trust God, or to reject God and trust man's ways. That's the power of living the life of God. Doing the things he gave you to do. And if you try to use all your energy and convince them and tell them and badger them into the, and coerce them into the kingdom, it's not going to work anyway. The thing that'll get them in there is you living the life of God. And when the Lord opens the door, minister life to them. And see, you don't have to browbeat, you don't have to push. When you speak the word of God in love, you don't have to keep doing it. They know your standard and they know your life. And they can see, they can judge. The Lord our God holds adolescent children and children accountable once they're able to judge what sin is. The age of accountability is different, depending on the person. You know, people used to say it's 12, but it's around that age. Some people understand sin before the age of 12, and they're required to get saved at younger ages. And once they can judge that sin is deadly, then it is. And once they're able to judge, then God requires them to judge correctly. And only God knows when that time, their age of accountability is. But everybody needs to be saved as soon as they can and as fast as they can. And it's a blessing when children get saved before the age of accountability. They may not even understand what sin is, but they definitely can understand who Jesus is. And it's easy to get children saved than it is a hardened adult, because it's so easy to understand. And once they're saved, they're saved. They know they have a witness within and upon. Within, the Holy Spirit lives within, and the Holy Spirit lives upon those, or he can live upon those who believe, because he was sent, he was given as a gift to all who believe. And we can receive him, and we can know him, and we can go forward and learn his word and thrive in life. But if we reject so great a salvation, then we'll have to pay for our own sins. If we were saved and operated in the love of God and the anointing and got in strife with somebody and then unforgiveness, then we can jeopardize our salvation through unforgiveness. Jesus meant what he said. That if you don't forgive, neither will my Father forgive you. So we want to do all we can to get people to understand God's love for who he is. The more we learn his ways and the more we understand him, the more we walk in his love, the more we desire to. And when your desires are in tune with the word of God, you are a very wealthy man, a woman. Now, I love God and his people, and his mercy endures forever. He loves us. He diligently loves us. And he will help us to go forward and not backwards, to know right from wrong, kindness, and he's going to help us go forward. There's no sin in the Lord. He loves us. And the sin is anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Jesus. Jesus is Satan's worst nightmare. If Satan could go to sleep and he dream about Jesus, he'd wake up in terror. And those that do know their God, he's afraid of them too. If you have faith to in the Lord's word and you take authority over Satan, then he is afraid of you. He'll run from you as in terror. But the Lord is good, and his grace and his mercy, his chesed, lives forever. He helps us go forward. He helps us with in every way of life. And I thank the Lord that he loves us. Because he loves us so much, and because he's willing to bless us so much, he gives us opportunities every day to follow through with his word. And then he can bless us and help us to thrive in this life. Now, I'm out of time again, but the Lord is not, and he will continue to mightily move in your life and help you and guide you and lead you in all truth. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.